Morning.
Good morning.
I'm not used to doing this. I don't speak very much in public nowadays. I sing on the guitar, but you get a bit of that later. We had a nice evening with Penny and Graham on Friday, and I said to Graham, I'd give him a testimony. So I don't really know where to start. How long can I have? So, don't take more than 3 hours. So I was born March 21st, 1950. In Islington. I was brought up in Bethnal Green in London. My dad was a Catholic, not a practicing Catholic, and my mum was Church of England, and I was christened, isn't it? I've got a certificate to prove it. I was christened in the book, Church of England. But I never followed the Lord. I didn't know Jesus. I knew about him, learnt lots about him at school, and I was dragged to Sunday school on some Sundays just to get me out of the way of my parents, I think. Used to hide under the table so I didn't have to go. He really didn't like it. But I did believe. I remember I used to pray when I was a kid. And throughout my life, I remember at the age of about 14, I was in a school assembly and we were singing Onward Christian Soldiers. Do you remember that? Do you still sing that? Anyone sing that now at school? Do you get hymns at school now? Yeah? Onward Christian Soldiers. And the Lord said to me, it's the first time I remember the Lord speaking to me. He said, I'm going to make you a Christian soldier. I didn't know what that meant. I could only think of the Salvation Army at the time, but I wasn't interested in that. But from then on, nothing happened. I realise now that it was a promise the Lord was making me. At 14 years old, the Lord promised me that he was going to make me a Christian soldier. No idea what he meant, but I'll find out later. Education wasn't that important to me. What was more important, the Beatles came along and I'd already been following the shadows, trying to learn to play guitar and emulate my heroes. I just wanted to be a musician. That was my life's dream, was to become rich and famous and popular with girls. That's what I really wanted. And probably that was why I wanted to be a musician. But I loved music. And eventually music just became my whole life. I lived and worshipped music. And I thought that music could actually be the salvation of the world. Very 60s thing, you remember all this power, flower power and all that. We all thought that, us hippies, we all thought that music was the answer to the world. And through music you could save the world and stop wars and all that stuff. I was still praying, particularly when my dad got cancer. And I prayed to the Lord every day that the Lord would heal him. I didn't know Jesus, I knew about him, and I knew God was there. I knew that there was a God, and he was someone I could pray to. But then my dad did die of cancer, and it was a horrible thing watching him die. And when he died, I decided that no God could exist to allow that to happen. So from then on, I decided God didn't exist. Fortunately, he wasn't listening. He was still there, but I made all kinds of excuses for God, and I'd argue with people that God was an astronaut. Do you remember Aaron von Daniken? I read the book, that was my new Bible. Just really to, I suppose, because I was angry at God. Still didn't know anything about Jesus. I knew of him, knew that he died on the cross for the sins of the world, but didn't have any kind of relationship with him. I mean, this probably is a lot of people were the same. Back then, religion was taught in schools. Lots of people went to church. My aunt was a Roman Catholic, as on the dad's side of the family. And I'd go around the house and she had all these like glowing Marys, glowing Mother Marys, all the symbols of being a Catholic. Meant nothing to me at all. I knew she went to church, she went to Mass, but really she never spoke to me about it. I just used to see all the symbols. I became a professional musician. I made some records, made a record that was doing pretty good. But not good enough that I needed to get a job. So the Lord led me. I didn't know that he was leading me, like I say. And I just remember that he spoke to me when I was 14. But I'd forgotten that at that time. But he took me to a place in Pitsy called Hickley's Electrical. And I'd only passed my driving test about 4 weeks prior to that. My stepfather was a driving instructor. And he taught me how to pass your test. Didn't teach me how to drive, taught me how to pass your driving test. 8 hours, and I got through the test. The first car we bought was a Ford Anglia, and I think our first evening out in it, or close to that, I needed some petrol. So 50 miles an hour down the A127, need some petrol. Just drove straight into the garage, nearly rolled the thing over. Couldn't drive. Hickley's gave me a job and a van. It was amazing. I mean, this had to be the law. I wasn't an electrician, I wasn't qualified at anything. But they gave me a job as an electrician. And they put me with a chap to take over. I was to take over from this retiring man. And some of you will know him, Arthur Crisp. And I was to take over from him. And the odd thing is, he was at the time 64. I'm 64 now. This was about 40 years ago to this day. So it's really strange to be standing here giving my testimony about 40 years after I became a Christian. Arthur amazed me. I couldn't understand how someone at 64, retiring, to me he was at the end of his life. I was 24 years old. I wasn't that happy because things weren't going the way I wanted them to go. Arthur was the happiest man I'd ever met. And to be honest, since then, I've never really met anyone quite so happy as Arthur. Met lots of lovely people. But Arthur was just, he was just filled with the Lord. I didn't know it was the Lord, I just thought he was a bit of a nutcase. And I used to argue, he didn't drum it into me, but I'd say, Arthur, why, how come you're so happy? And he'd tell me about Jesus. And I'd tell him that, yeah, it's rubbish, God was an astronaut, you know, I've got loads of proof. Even in Ezekiel, it tells you that God was an astronaut. That's what Eric, I'm down with it. So Arthur was teaching me the job. It was a lighting round. We used to change light bulbs in Basildon for Basildon Council. Contracted to them. So we're out one day. I'd been there probably about 6 months, wondering about Arthur, not really thinking about Christianity at all, but knowing that Arthur was a Christian, knowing that was what he claimed to be saved. But we were out doing a job. We had to change a light at the top of a lamppost, and it was chucking it down with rain. It's probably like this month, it's been. And Arthur said, are you going to be out and do this? I said, no. He's 64. I said, Arthur, you'll have to do this one. And I was a bit scared of lights anyway. He just said, don't tell the governor. You know, if you can get by with it, then you don't have to tell anyone if you can do the job. But I thought, Arthur's still there, so I'll rely on him. I got him to go out, change the light bulb. And while he was out, there's nothing to do in this van. There's no radio, didn't have any magazines, didn't have a guitar with me. Arthur had a few Christian newspapers in the van. I think this one's called Herald of His Coming. So I just picked it up, just because there was nothing else to do out of boredom. And on the back page of this newspaper, it was like a news report. And it was the second coming of Jesus. And about Jesus coming in the clouds and he's taking his church. And it was just really put together the way Revelation is and what it says in Isaiah. And as I'm reading this, I'm believing it. And I know that Jesus is alive. And it's like he's sitting in the van with me. And he's saying to me, I'm here, I'm coming back, and I want you. And when Arthur got back in the van, I had to tell him. I said, Arthur, I said, you're Jesus, he's just spoken to me. And he wants me to follow him. That's 40 years ago, it might not be the words I said, but I just knew that Jesus was alive, that God was in heaven, and Jesus had risen from the dead.
Glory.
Amen. Yeah.
And so Arthur said, well, you need to tell some people. You need to come to church. Oh, I don't know about that. Jesus is alive. I've avoided church all these years. I don't know. So we left it there. But I knew that Jesus was alive. I was quite a fan of horror films back then. I still am in a way. I don't like violent, bloody films, but I do like a bit of a scary film. Exorcist was doing the rounds. So I had to go and see The Exorcist, so I did. The Lord was sitting beside me in the cinema, and it frightened me. I've never got this scared at films, but I've watched The Exorcist since, and I think it's quite corny. But that day, watching The Exorcist, the Lord was revealing to me a choice. And he said, you're either for me or you're against me. And you could walk out of this cinema, you get run over, crash in the van, whatever. This is your day. Make your choice. It's either me or it's hell. It's Satan. So, the following Sunday I went to church, took Chris with me. She did it. I kind of dragged you a bit, didn't I? And we went to Ingaway Brethren Church in Basildon. It was a real alien country to me. I mean, these people, all shirts and ties. And they were all businessman, I think, except for Arthur. But Arthur didn't fit in there, but he loved it. And the people were lovely. There was a couple of people who really looked after us. There was a guy called John Jones. I think he used to be a farmer, and his wife. And they really took us to heart. But it was a struggle. And for me, it was a real struggle. I was still a hippie, long hair. Arthur said, they'll complain about your hair. They'll complain that you smoke. I still smoked at the time. I smoked for a long time after that. I didn't really know if I was going to make it. I was learning to love the Lord, learning more and more about him, learning more about having a relationship with him. But there was no way I think I would have made it through at Inglewood Chapel. They were lovely people, but I was a fish out of water. There was a young girl named Mary Doon. She wasn't a hippie, but she looked like a hippie. The reverend hair right down the back. And she was a lovely girl. And she could see the struggle that I was having. And she said, there are some people in Romford who I wanted to meet. She said, they're more like you as musicians, ex-hippies, ex-drugs taker. I'm not going to go into drugs, but I was into drugs a bit. And they had been down that road as well. So she took us to meet them. Couple called Ian Budd. Strange guy, he looked like Bob Dylan, big fuzzy hair, he sang like Bob Dylan, and he wrote some really, really lovely Christian songs, really great humorous songs. If I remember them, one day I'll play something to you, but you'll get one of them today. And Ian had this relationship, just even a deeper relationship with the Lord that I could understand. And the way he spoke with the Lord, the way we talked to each other. Because at the Brethren Church, it's all these and nows. I couldn't get my head around these and nows. I don't talk like that. And Jesus saved me, knowing me, loving me the way I am. Why did I have to become different? And he wanted to perfect me, but I'm still me. He made me the way I am. And there are people who talk like that. Well, great, that's them. The Lord saved me with long hair, taking drugs and smoking, and he loved me like that. He was going to change me, but it was his change. I can't change myself. No man can change me, but Jesus has the power to change us. And that doesn't happen overnight. So maybe for some people it does, I would never argue that. But for me, it was a growing thing. 40 years later, I'm still growing, still learning every day. About the Lord. And that was the thing with Arthur. Arthur would wake up every morning, what has the Lord got for me today? What's the Lord going to teach me today? And he was 64 years old, I'm 64 years old, and it's still the same. What's the Lord teaching me? When will I really get to be like Jesus? The Apostle Paul talked about it, running the race, hoping that he'd be ready on the day. We live by faith, and each one of us here, we're miracles. Because we're saved by grace. Even the belief that we have, Jesus said, that belief comes from God.
Right.
I said to the disciples, who do you think I am? The disciples said, you're the Son of God. He said, praise God. You know that because God has revealed it to you. All we do is hear, as Graham said, I think, last week. We just hear the word. God gives us the belief. And we just thank Jesus for that.
Yes.
So, we started going to a Pentecostal church in Romford. I met Ian, and Ian introduced us to another guy, Ray Edwards, who was a friend of Graham's as well. And we started going to Ian's Pentecostal church. It was great. I learned more and more about the Lord and the Holy Spirit, which they don't unfortunately teach in the Brethren Church. And I accepted the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Learned that we could speak in tongues when we just... You just don't know what to say to the Lord when you're only, you just burst out in tongues, and that's speaking directly to the Spirit. And the Spirit understands. We don't understand, but it's praying in tongues to the Spirit. And it's just such a blessing to be able to do that. Ray then told me about Graham, Ray Edwards in Romford, told me about Graham and his church in Pitsea. He said, you'll have to go. There's only Graham, about Graham Penny and three old ladies. Mrs. Collis. It was really, wasn't it? Mrs. Collis, Mrs. Brown, probably someone else I can't remember. So we started coming here. And we came here for a while and got involved with the Sunday school. We've quite involved in it. But the Lord, It was beyond my understanding. I didn't understand. We were only, I was still only 26 years old at the time. And the Lord took us out. I knew I had to come out of here. It didn't happen in a great way. I was young. I didn't know what to do. But the Lord took us out. 25 years. We didn't belong to any church. We belonged to the Lord's church. And it was like almost a wilderness. We had Ray. We had lots of Christian friends that we met. We talked on the phone. It wasn't a week. Hardly a day went by when we didn't get some kind of fellowship. The Lord taught us that I needed this kind of teaching, that I had to rely totally on Jesus, because I could easily rely on getting involved in the church. And even now, it happens often. We go to St. George's. We've been going to St. George's up in Bentley for about 4 or 5 years. And I've got roped into all kinds of things. And the Lord's dragged me out. That's not what I want for you. I want you to be mine. You belong to me. And no man can own you. And I easily can become a slave to drugs, alcohol, to any kind of faction, cult, if you like, as a replacement for having that direct relationship with God. God still knows what I am. And he's still teaching me. And he's teaching me day by day to be closer to him and to totally rely on him. And that was like 25 years outside of the church. We learned that there is no counterfeit for God. The church is God's. God said, I will build my church, not even the gates of hell will prevail against it. We see that. Each of us know that all the time. But for me, I have to experience that outside. And I really love coming to a place. And I hope, I'd love to come here for something. And if that happens, then that's fantastic. I didn't think that we'd ever go to a Church of England. St. George's is a Church of England. I stood against that for years. And there we are. We have Sundays, we go there, we're involved in a few things there. But whenever I've got too involved, the Lord's taken me out of it. And it's not been my choice. It just blows up. I can't explain it. I hope it's nothing to do with me. Maybe it is. Maybe they just don't like me. I don't know. But that's what happens. But each one of us can have a relationship directly with the Lord. It's important. We need fellowship. We need to be together. We need to meet together. And that's really important to me. That's the most important thing in the church, our brothers and sisters. Because when we share this bread and wine, what we're sharing is our love for the Lord and our faith in the Lord and this oneness that we are with God. And for me, that's what the symbolism is. As we all take this together, we're showing our togetherness with God, that we're brothers and sisters. We're the family of God. Jesus was the firstborn of many, and we're the ones that followed. And as I said before, we're the real miracles. Because Jesus said to his disciples that greater things will follow, because people who will come to me, they won't even have seen me, they won't have walked me, they won't have held my hand, they won't have seen the crucifixion and the holes in his hands, won't have seen the ascension. But the miracle is that we believe. We know him. We haven't met him yet. We've met him spiritually. But one day we're actually going to meet him face to face. And praise God, I really look forward to that day. But each one of us, what's going to happen? We're just going to fall on our faces. Because we're not worthy. Our worthiness is through Jesus. And I'm not worthy. He's 40 years on. I ain't worthy. But thankfully, Jesus has made him worthy. And he's been the mediator between me and God, between us and God. I just praise God. That's my testimony. And today I just want to remember Arthur. Because 40 years ago, he was praying for me. And 50 years ago, God promised me, and he fulfilled that promise. I'm going to make you a Christian soldier. And today, here we are. I praise God. I've got to sing this song. I'm fed up with talking. I'd rather sing this song. I mentioned the guy called Ian Budd. And the strange thing, when one of our first meetings, I said to him, I've got this chorus that God has given me, but I can't think of any words for it. I've got the chorus, I've got the words for the chorus. Come on, please. Finally looking something up. And I've got the words for this chorus, and I played it to him, and he said, oh. He said, I've got the verses. And the tune was in his head, and the tune in my head, but it's just remarkable. So that's what you're going to get. Hopefully by the end you'll learn the chorus. Graham might remember it. Mm-hmm. So there we go. Jesus is my friend. He's going to stay with me till the end. Until he takes me home again. I'll try that bit again. I should try. Right?
Yes.
Jesus knows what I am, but he loves me just the same. Praise God and thank Him.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
for what you do for us, Lord, that you take us just as we are. Lord, you loved us, Lord, when we were born. And you had a plan for us, Lord. And I just praise you and thank you, Lord, that through prayers for us, Lord, other people's prayers for us, Lord, that you drew close to us, Lord. You revealed yourself to us, Lord. You gave us the power to become sons and daughters of the living God,
thank
our
you,
Father in heaven. And Father, you love each one of us as your own child. And I just thank you and praise you for that, Lord.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And glorify you, Lord.